Attention all passengers. The Uber ride for Jeff's rugby team will depart in 5 minutes from platform 15. Your ride comes with 6 toilets and a refreshments carriage that you'll empty within 5 minutes. Thank you for booking your tickets on Uber.
Trains on Uber.
Head to the beach in Abercrombie's latest summer drop. New 100% linen shirts are perfect for breezy days by the coast. They're easy to layer and go well with our new sea-fade shorts. For days spent on the water, pair the A&F Resort shirt with your favorite swim. Outfit your summer with Abercrombie in the app, online, and in stores.
Hey guys, Adam Ray here for the About Last Night podcast. Hope you're having a great week. Looking forward to a great weekend. Today is an ALN classic episode. That's right. We're throwing it back to the old days of the podcast. We had some bangers, some hitters, some legends come through the show. So we thought we'd dig deep and throw it back to some of those insane, hilarious, fun episodes. So enjoy the hell out of this episode. Of course, follow the podcast at ALN Podcast on Instagram and Twitter, at Adam Ray Comedy on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. Enjoy the episode. Enjoy your week.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. It's about last night.
Well, in London, England.
London town.
You played London, England. That's where all our British listeners go, what kind of cocksucking accent is that?
But you can push that a little bit. Well, here, I'll scoot to this side.
All right.
We try to put these mics, so when we tape for videos. Yeah, there you go.
Is there a video in here?
No, not for this one.
Not
today.
I
thought you were going to get up and fix my
headphones?
Headphones for me.
I've done that before.
Really?
Yeah. And I always am like, I want to do that out of courtesy, but there's never been a guest that's been like feels emasculated or... Mm-hmm. Like, don't touch me. You know, how are you with personal space? Like, if a stranger, like, let's say, look, there's a comic who will remain nameless, but he likes to give back rubs, okay?
And Jason Collings.
Does he?
No, I don't know. I don't know.
That's what
I'm trying to say. I actually think about it.
But if you...
I'm going to turn mine down a little bit because I think I'm going to die. Can you hear me?
How well... Is it better?
That's... Yeah.
Sure.
How well... I guess. I don't know.
Dude. How well do you have to know someone for them to rub your back?
Yeah... Everybody here could rub my back.
I like that. I like that we've reached that level.
Yeah.
Should be the name of your next special.
If a stranger rubbed my back, it depends who the stranger is.
Yeah.
If it's somebody, if somebody's rubbed my back and go, who the hell is that? And I look over and it's like, I don't know, Harry Styles or somebody. Then I'm like, what's that?
It's got to be a hot young male boy band.
It's got to be a hot young man.
Yeah. Women, really, who needs that?
Yeah. If you're going to rub my back, you better have a sweet dick.
And then I think there's a certain level where,
dick.
Like, if you're at a sporting event, that kind of makes it okay if like, your team just did something.
Yeah, although it would be funny to, like, yeah, we scored, and you just start rubbing my back slowly, and I don't know you. I'm like, that kind of is the opposite of the intensity of what just happened.
Hey, we scored. I mean, you don't really need those pants, right?
Yeah, let's kiss. Let's go Red Sox.
Well, there is that thing in sports where it comes very close to being homoerotic, whether it be the ass slapping or like the big time bro hugs or like,
yeah, that's true. I personal space with strangers it can be a lot where I'm like, oh, like after a show, and I am like, oh god, like why are you this close? Brent, they can see that my hand is right next to my nose. People will just be like, great show. What is fascinating is I like, you want to push that person. Like, your instinct, personal space is like a real bubble for every person.
Yeah.
And you're unaware of it because I'm pretty mild-mannered these days. Not like my days of shooting and fighting.
did have them.
back in his teens, Brent Morin was a gunfighter.
If you just stay in that space, though, it is interesting how you're like, I'll push her. Her.
Yeah.
I just said her.
You just assumed it was a woman. Assumed it was a middle-aged divorcee.
Wait, I just totally didn't listen to you. Should put this on this.
That's all right.
Yeah, there.
Just threw my phone. I don't need my
With no regard for human life, throws his phone across
my
the
only
room.
Goal in life is to be successful enough that I do one of those things where I just get rid of my phone for a year and a half.
Yeah.
People are like, what a powerful move that guy made.
Just do like just do like an Eddie Vedder move where you just like chuck it out the window.
Yeah.
Well, Eddie Vedder, or have you considered ever going to those, like Neil Brennan, I think, posted a decent amount about when he returned from his journey to some sort of no technology retreat. Whitney Cummings has done them.
Well, that's why I said successful. I get successful enough where I could do shit like that.
Yeah, where they can just chill on.
You got to really be able to afford those things.
You have to be able where you can turn down. You don't need to be by your phone to accept everything that's coming your way.
Because right now, tink, I'm like, oh, come on.
Wizards of Waverly Place guest star?
Yeah, I guess.
Tink, I love your ring, by the way. Or your,
Oh, shit, no, that's email on my phone. Tink, yeah, that's the one that matters, boy.
Tink sounds like a weird, like, gay slang term. Like, oh, he's real thin. He's a tink.
Yeah, guy's such a tink. My brother does that. My brother is gay, and he will, like, meet friends of mine or something and just be like, he's such a twink. And I don't know what that means. Is that just like, what's a twink?
I know what it means.
What does it mean?
It's just like a
bottom?
Brad Williams, friend of the gays.
Yeah, friend. Yeah. Yes, that's my new show coming out only on Amazon Prime. Brad Williams, friend of the gays.
Congratulations.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah,
tough
congrats.
To,
yeah.
To be honest with you.
Ta-tink. Oh, sure, I just got an audition for it. Oh,
Jesus Christ, come on. I need this.
It's the tick, and then me, and then Ta-tink. Yeah,
that's
Ta-tink
it. Great lineup. I would watch all of those back to back.
Ta-tink also sounds like some sort of children's like some. Do you ever read the story about it was like these ducks in Asia? It was like a children's story where like these four ducks were like cross a river and it was like Ta-tink, and it was like Ta-tink goes the smallest duck or so. Like, all right,
we'll be Brad, right back here on the Tonight Show with Adam Ray.
How was that?
At your couch interview. What the fuck was I doing? Did I just start talking about some Asian
Adam,
duck Chinese?
Yeah, I'm going to look it up. Asian duck children's book.
Because when I think, where's my Chinese proverbs coming from?
Yeah. Oh my God, here it is. It's called Ping, the story of Ping.
Ping
is not Ta-tink.
Ta-tink was the brother of Ping.
It's in the Ink and Ing family. Ping went to tink. Like, that's what I heard in my
Ping
head.
Ping to tink. Get down here. Jesus. Ping to tink. Pating. Satingy.
Oh, my God. I knew it by Kurt Weiss. That doesn't matter. But it,
I thought you said I knew it by Kurt Weiss, my favorite children author of Asia.
Kurt Weiss.
Dude, I swear. All right. You guys got to read
wise.
This. Brad, what does twink mean?
Twink is an attractive, boyish-looking young gay man.
Oh, it's a compliment. That's
the stereotypical twink is an 18 to 22-year-old slender with little or no body hair, often blonde. Dresses in club wear even at 10 a.m. and not particularly intelligent. A twink is a gay answer to the blonde bimbo cheerleader.
You know what? Besides the
Thank
blonde
you,
part,
Urban Dictionary.
I got to tell you, spot on. Yeah. Well, my brother, I mean, called a friend of mine that. He's a twink. And I was like, oh, yeah.
Now, London.
I don't really know what that meant. So I,
but you
my
just
brother
kind of agree
says,
with him?
Yeah, because I just don't want to.
Well, that you don't want. You want to act like you're into gay culture and not like.
It's pretty much what I thought he meant because when I looked at the guy, I was like, yeah, that makes sense. But I went right to bottom. If we remember that from 2 minutes ago, I went, it's a bottom.
Yeah.
And you were like, what? And you looked it up. And it was,
now, I would like to know the difference between a bottom and a power bottom. Because I've heard a powder
bottom. Oh my God,
Jesus!
Powder bottom is what you do to the baby when it needs changing.
By the way,
delayed laugh from Brent. But
no,
laugh.
But that's because I had an emergency in my throat.
Yeah,
and that's what they call a. Here come the letters.
Another gay slang term.
Here come the letters. Another great title name for
Here
a special.
Come the letters. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, but I'd have to actually be like really controversial.
Yeah.
But also, if you were really controversial and you called your special Here Come the Letters, then I feel like you're trying to be controversial.
Yeah, then people are like, fuck this guy. Then they're not taking everything you say with actual validity of being pushing the envelope.
Yeah, you're trying to push the
envelope. Pushing the envelope. Here Come the Letters. That's in the meeting. Yeah. We're like, all right, we know that Mayo is going to play a part of this.
Yeah. Yes.
I like when like... I like when names of specials try to get like uber like manly like over the edge.
I know,
you know,
it's comedy at the end of the day.
Yeah,
guys.
It's like we're still telling jokes.
Yeah, your guys were all
below the ice. Oh, like, Jesus. Whoa, shit,
below the ice.
I'd see that movie.
Yeah,
Mighty Ducks Below the Ice. I don't know what that means.
The hottest cold.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, it's like they're trying to name their specials sometimes like. titles of Steven Seagal movies, like Under Siege.
It's very true.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what that's about.
Never Scared. Oh, all right. That's a Chris Rock special. I can't insult that.
Yeah,
but
that's
true.
It's good. Well, when you're good, you can kind of get away with all
that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I just called mine I'm Brent Morin.
Yeah, I love that.
Which is perfect.
Yeah.
Because
people didn't see me.
Yeah. And, you know, when someone watches your special and goes, who's this guy? Mm-hmm. Oh, the title is I'm
Fuck
Brent
yeah,
Morin.
Dude.
In bright orange and black.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I
don't regret the name of the special. That's one thing I could look back 2 years later and go, I don't regret the name.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. Well, I don't even know what that means. You regret your material in the special?
No, not at all. Oh. I actually like the special a lot.
Yeah.
But I was.
Oh, you're saying.
I'm saying that I wonder if people look back and go, why did I name it this?
I bet they
You know, because you do that with jokes. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. jokes you wrote 4 years ago. Or for what I do often is like I just opened like a box of scripts that I wrote in college, like in film school. And it actually made me like I had a week of thinking maybe I'm very delusional because these are the worst things I ever read, and I was like, man, maybe I'm just a bad like screenwriter. Like,
I was trying
to use them for motivation.
Yeah,
and it did the exact opposite.
Holy crap, I'm not good.
I need to go call a tatink and a twink and have a bender.
Bottle of tequila and a tatink.
Yeah. That's actually a pretty good country song.
He came home.
There it is.
Yeah. He was with my girl. I said all I need now is a bottle of tequila and a tatink.
See, Brad will never not go for it, which is what I love. But guess what? He'll take the swings. And look, he's going to miss.
I'll do it.
He's going to take the swings, though, and you need somebody to take the swings.
I thought that was a damn good country song.
My favorite part, though, is the entire time you're singing it, you have your hands on your cheek and chin like the
rested.
Back of a novel, because you knew going into it, this is going to be hard to find.
I look like someone's first headshot.
You didn't like how you started the song. You went,
nope. And I was like,
I guess I'll keep it going.
Just keep singing. And I think that's important.
That's why I let it go. I was like, I want to see him get to the tink part.
The best improv country songs start with,
I try to think of some words. I'm just going to keep going,
Man, I think all my songs start with
Now you think about it.
Come on, Brent. Get it together.
Yeah, you got to sing what tonight?
I have to sing later at the Roxy.
What are you singing again?
Crawling by Linkin Park.
Okay. I saw a video of you doing this.
Yeah, I saw it live.
At the Goddamn Comedy Jam in Montreal.
Yeah. Jesus, that was a blur.
And obviously, Brent was sober.
Yeah.
The fact that you even hit those notes, and this was like the week after Chester passed away.
Yeah, it was a big deal to me.
Yeah.
He was my hero.
Was he really?
Yeah. That was why I changed my song. I was going to do Bruno Mars, and which was way too hard to do, by the way.
Which Bruno Mars song?
Locked Out of Heaven.
I mean, but it was by the way, stupid really question hard. On my part. What song isn't difficult?
Yeah, it's
they're all in the key of, huh?
Yeah. And he's always smiling a lot.
Yeah.
Chester's easy. Chester's not easy. Chester's actually one of the hardest guys to sing if you really try it.
Yeah.
If you do it like he does it. I've watched frat guys try it all the time.
Right.
But he taught me how to sing, like not personally. But like growing up, when my first album came out,
yeah.
I was 13, going through puberty maybe,
this
and then
is
that
Hybrid Theory,
it just spoke to me. I just got my first guitar. I knew I liked to sing, but I was too scared to. But I had anger and like angst. It was perfect for me.
Yeah.
And then he was a bit of a higher register singer anyway, and my voice. I was like the last kid whose voice changed. And I just remember learning how to sing his melodies. And then the choruses were always screaming. And I didn't know, how do you get your voice to do that? So I spent every night in my bedroom when I was like in high school. When I was doing like had all my bands.
Your parents just thought that was a really awkward masturbation session.
Yeah, it's really weird.
Crawling!
Yeah. When you're like, yo! See, I'm not going to be able to scream tonight. I got to figure that out.
But like, because like some people think that guys like Chester or like... the Corey Taylor from Slipknot, they think like they're just screaming, but then these guys are really good vocalists because they're able to scream like that for an entire concert and then do it the next
night. Yeah, because it's singing.
Because
you're not really screaming. It's like when I rely on comedy yells in my act. I yell a lot in my act, or when I did the sitcom a lot.
And
I'm
your boys,
like, what
are
you
doing?
Yeah. You know, but I yell where it doesn't hurt my voice ever. Like, I mean, I could do a weekend of shows and do a whole thing like, what is going on? You know, but that's...
Why, because you're breathing properly?
Yeah, it's a singing technique that I learned from Chester. Because there's like all these different things, and he's all throat, you know? And he actually sings and like through... It's just... fascinating how many friends I didn't have when I was doing this. But thinking about, like, how the hell does he go from, like, putting my trust and then to that, then back, and not, like, be voiceless?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so then I realized when I would yell in my act, I was like, oh, that's I'm just using a different part of my throat that's why when I'm on the mic, I don't have to pull the mic away.
Yeah.
Because I've had to really yell in my life. And when you really yell at somebody or like get in a screaming fight, your voice is gone.
Yeah.
Because you're really yelling.
Right. You're all emotional and you're all throat.
Yeah. But mine's not yelling. What I did realize, though, is that yell is like I use it in acting and everything. And it's like my dad had a good yell. And I have a comedy yell, so I'm concerned when I have kids now. Like, go to your room. And they're like, relax, Costanza. You know, like it's become kind of like a Jackie Gleason kind of oh yeah.
To the moon, Alice.
Yeah, yeah. But that's all singing technique that I've learned over the years.
Okay.
And I realized, and I backtracked in my own like self therapy. I was like, oh, that's all Chester. That's from when I was a teenager. I used to stand on a roof with my friend Matt and learn how to scream because we didn't know how to scream. Most annoying 16-year-old kids in the world just learned how to drink standing on a roof at my friend's beach house, screaming, trying to see if we could sing. We were trying to do crawling. We were trying to do shut up. Then we just tried to scream and who could scream the longest. And that was all we did until the cops were called.
What did they say when they showed up?
Some kids are killing each other.
What are you guys doing? We're learning how to scream sing. Get the hell off the roof, fucking kids.
It's like, is that a new kind of drug?
Do it inside.
Scream sing?
Yeah, and he had the parents that were like the parents that let you drink, you know, that are like, you know, they're not like when you're a teenager, mm-hmm. you're like, what great parents. But when you're older, you realize that those are really bad parents.
Yeah. That's all,
dude. They're your favorite parents when you're in high school.
Oh yeah, totally. It's like when you found out, like, you know, I remember being like in fourth grade or maybe in sixth grade, a kid I was in class with was like, yeah, man, I'll smoke weed with my parents, and like now he like is trying to pitch me on like he's like making a gun, and he like, you know, used to work at Costco. So it's like, all right, well, things pan out the way they were supposed to.
Yeah,
you were smoking weed in sixth grade with your folks, but at that age, it's so, I don't know, just rebellious, and also like you've never heard of it, so you're like, you do like it's unthinkable to party with your parents at that age.
Oh, they're
at all.
Yeah, there was a girl that went to my school who literally, she pretty much just had a house to herself because her parents both lived in another country. This is in high school, and the parents are working in another country. They own a home in Orange County, and she was just by herself for like a month and a half on end. Taking care of herself, and we're like, man, that's the greatest thing ever. And they're like, who the fuck leaves their high school kid, just like, they'll figure it out.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Then you wonder, what's that person doing now?
No idea.
Owns Microsoft. Like, what? Yeah, I couldn't, if my parents just like left mm-hmm. me for 3 months, or if they just left like that.
Yeah.
I mean, wow.
By the way,
what would happen?
Party with your parents should have been the follow-up to Party in the USA. And, and if it was a real song, Brad, I'll let you take this first one because you start us.
Well.
Here we go. Wait.
Nice.
I think it's...
Brad is now getting into it.
I think it's right here. 2, 3, and turn around, grab the mic.
Waking up at 10 a.m. because what do I have to do?
Not shit.
My parents are in another country. That's great for me, sucks for you.
What?
I can drink before noon. I don't care. Get fucked up. Do cocaine anywhere.
Yeah,
it's time
anywhere.
To have fun today. That's right. Because my parents are gone. And the parents, yeah, are gone. And the parents, yeah, are gone.
Bye, honey.
Play my song. I bring my head and then grab the food.
Party on.
I'll get the booze. You get the food.
Yeah.
My parents are gone. We're having a party. The show's about to start. You get
party. The parents are gone.
Wait, I thought
what
it was
are you doing?
Is that the dad or the neighbor?
What are you doing?
I don't know why that was Danza yelling.
Yeah, next door to Tony Danza. You guys partying without your parents?
Tony Danza.
That's hey. Weird.
Do you mind if I join?
Hey, Danza, what are you doing here?
Oh, this is amazing. Yeah,
well,
man.
I'll tell you. I got some Cool Ranch Doritos and a couple of Zimas.
I mean, we got cocaine, but that's cool, too.
I've been on the exercise bike, you can tell, duh.
Are you hitting on us?
Possibly, wow, what are you? Can you tell my tank top is Banana Republic? Yeah, 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 yeah. Where's the food?
Well, now we know. Now we know Britt Morin's a spitter.
Well, when you said "duh," just the laziest songwriting.
To be fair,
on how old are you? Just come over with a Cool Ranch and Zima.
See,
duh.
That's how.
Like, wow.
That's how you get a song on the charts. Not like having like Rihanna guest or like some other famous rapper guest. Like, yo, Tony Danza. Break it down, and then Danza
comes
on.
No problem. I'm pulling my van up to your house. Do you need a quick vacuum?
Da 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 da. What's your name? Vacuum. Okay, Tony. Did you write? We asked you to write all night. Yeah, I wrote.
Wait, what? I thought the song was supposed to be called "Party."
I totally
party
forgot.
Party with parents, and we made it. The parents are gone.
Yeah. I said parents.
Party without parents.
Yeah,
said, that's
party
fine.
While your parents are gone, I totally fucked it up.
That's a better song though, because who wants to hear a song that's called "Your parents are actually pretty cool"?
Yeah.
They also went to, yeah.
I also tried to join in with you at the exact same time in the chorus as if we rehearsed the chorus.
Yeah, I know.
We both sing two completely different. I was like, of course you're singing two different choruses.
What are you singing?
We didn't practice it.
Two. And Doritos and sound. Yeah. I was like, all right, he didn't start with Doritos. Why did I start with Doritos?
Now you were partying without parents recently in London.
Nice.
That's
segue.
Right.
Classic.
Segway.
That's right. I was in London and I was having... fun in London, getting to know people in Soho and just seeing some theatre.
Please tell me you did that accent, because when I studied abroad there for 6 months,
yeah.
After a week, I went to pubs and definitely pretended to be British.
Yeah, you should. I was too scared.
Oh, really?
Well, I did it on stage.
Because they'll call you out.
And dead silence. And I opened with it. And I remember even saying on stage, definitely don't do an accent, Brent. Like doing that stuff. You knew they would like it. And you think that would get like the ha ha ha. No, they kind of were just kind of like, all right, man, we hear this all the time from Americans. Kind of attitude. Yeah. So I just had to get right into my act. That's what I learned.
Same thing happened to me when I went to China.
Oh, that must have been.
Just did the straight Chinese accent.
What'd you do? You come out and you were like, what?
Yeah, what'd you do, man? What was it like?
I have a Chinese wife. I'm not going to fall for that.
Yeah, nice.
Well, that's why you can do it.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's
yeah,
what we thought.
Yeah, my wife's Chinese.
But she's a black belt.
Yeah. So that's not good.
But she's a black belt.
but you were going over there for shows.
Yeah. I went over there to do a week of shows at the Soho Theater.
That's so cool.
It was so awesome. It was great.
Soho is a very swanky
nice,
part
man.
Of London town.
I was in the best part, and they put me up in a flat,
yeah.
in Soho that there was a confusion of how big it was. Mm-hmm. So I was picturing it to be like the bedroom and the kitchen and couch all in the same room.
Sure.
And I got there, and it had two beds or two bedrooms, but two beds in one of the rooms, and then the master room was like a California king, and the ceilings were like huge ceiling. It was right in the heart of Soho, walking distance from Soho Theater in the West End.
That's amazing.
And I had it for like 11 days, and I was like, wow,
unreal.
It was so awesome. I was like, this is crazy.
That's when you just start walking around like, I'm pretty sure this is how One Direction travels.
I did walk around. And it's one of those places, and I talked about this once. Maybe this is just me now at this point, but it's like that New York trip I took. There was just something romantic when I got there. I went to Hyde Park, and I walked around. It was cloudy, and it's not that hot out.
I feel like that's the start of a musical where you're just like, there's just something romantic about London.
Yeah.
And then just the music cues up behind
Excuse
you.
Excuse me, can you tell me what... Oh, God, bro. Figure that out. why would she ask me? Oh, man, but I got to tell you, the women there.
Mm. Good? Bad?
Beautiful.
Beautiful.
Beautiful. You know what I liked about the women in London? Because I had a few friends there that were girls that like took me out and showed me a good time.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I really liked is a lot of the women there, like when I was like, well, let me get you a drink. They would be like, oh, nonsense. We're giving you a drink. You're a guest. And they would all, and like, I spent wildly less at bars at night than I usually would if I was here.
You're like, wow, this is what it's like to be a hot chick.
I did feel like a beautiful, I did feel beautiful. I remember David Sullivan, who's going to be on the podcast.
Yep.
He came and met me there, and he's my like one of my favorite travel buddies because he's just all positivity and like even if I'm like no, he's like no, man, let's go, let's do it.
Dude,
I'm
he
like,
is a great yes-ander and also just adds to every situation. Yeah. And he's always like trying to find out like almost like a great joke writer where you're trying to peel back more, like asking more questions. He does that in life.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You'll have a. I had great therapy sessions too with him. Like just even talking about life and what's going on and. It's just a perfect travel buddy. But the first night he got there, I won't forget, there was a girl that I knew, and she asked me to meet her at Soho House out there. And I guess out there, there's a lot of clubs. You can't get into places unless you're a member, which they have a Soho.
Yep.
For people that don't know what a Soho House is, it's basically just a private club for the rich and famous that you pay like a yearly membership to be a part of. And they have that in London, and I guess it's even more like, you know.
Exclusive?
Yes. Yeah. Thank you for the word.
No problem. Fine.
But David was showing up late because he was flying into London. So I had finished my shows and had a couple drinks with some local comics. And then I was like, I had the key to the place. So I said, David, I'll just meet you at the place and then we can go out. And then these girls wanted us to go to Soho House. So let's do it. Let's check out the place. It's so hard to get into. That'd be fun. And he shows up at like 12:45. I guess Soho closes at, I don't know when it closes, like 3, maybe 2, maybe 2 o'clock. We walk up to Soho House. There's like this cool looking... of course, cool-looking black bouncer. And there's a group of people outside, and probably whatever their version of paparazzi are probably out, like out there. And we're about to walk into like the front desk, and the guy goes, "I'm sorry, mate, place is closed." And I don't know why I said this because we were. I was like, "How was your flight?" We're having like a normal conversation, but he goes, "I'm sorry, mate, place is closed." And for some reason, I didn't hesitate, and I just said, "But the love of my life is in there, and I need to tell her how I feel."
Great.
And he looks at me and he goes, "Well, I can't stop love." And he lets us in.
Oh, man.
I can't stop love.
And it was all in one motion. And there's people, I was like, what the fuck?
Oh, an ounce of hesitation and you're not getting in there.
Yeah, I don't even know why I did that. And David's laughing. He goes, "What the hell was that?" I go, "I have no idea why I did that. I don't know where I was in my head."
Because like
I was in the romance of the city.
Yeah.
And a girl that was there was actually kind of beautiful that I was like, maybe no, I gotta get in there. Yeah. Who knows?
Yeah. Could be the love of my life. I don't know.
Yeah, and when he kicked us out, he goes, "How's it going, mate?" And I'm like, "I don't know yet." And he goes, "Just stay strong."
When he kicked you out.
He's like the nicest guy. No, when you know, when they closed.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Leaving. He's like, "All right, mate." And I'm like, "Fucking love you guys."
Dude, that's great.
He was like, "I can't stop love." And I was like, "Oh, it's like out of a movie."
That's such a better line than like, "Don't you know who I am?"
I gotta use it again. Better. I have to use it again.
Yeah.
It was perfect because I delivered it great.
Try to do it in all forms. Like go to a game and not with a ticket. And just walk in, and then when they stop you, like ticket, you're like, "Oh, but the love of my life is in there."
You know, my friend, when we were underage, my best friend, I can't give his name away because he might lose his job now, but
okay.
I just never understand what I can and cannot say. But I was just his best man because I gave told a lot of stories, and he was like, he's back at some of those details. And I was like, whoops.
Wait, I want to know.
I was killing.
You were.
Oh, you've met him before, I think.
And also, I feel like there's.
Of course, you met him. He was in Montreal.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
You can edit that out.
Yeah, who cares? Yeah. I actually don't give a shit.
Okay, cool. But I want to know, like, do you go in thinking, all right, there's certain details I shouldn't divulge, but also once you start crushing, you're like, all right, dude, I'm going for broke.
I had the room, I got to tell you.
Yeah.
And I was actually more nervous for that speech than I was for, like, headlining London.
Dude,
I was like...
Well, because you... Because
I could ruin a marriage or something.
You're not set up to win at wedding speech.
Yeah.
No, because if I cross the line, then the mom's mad.
Yes.
And the wife's mad. Like, I didn't know.
And you have your material that you have in your shows. You're like, okay, this works.
Yeah, I could do this, I'll just take out this swear for grandma who's here, you know?
Yeah, 9 out of 10 times, actually 10 out of 10 times, who's running their speeches at comedy clubs? You know? Or at a place, or at other weddings.
Yeah, I got to tell you.
That'd be great if you could.
It was, I wish I taped the special, though. That was, what is it?
Running a great show. Speech. I don't know, running your wedding speeches at other weddings, like it's an open mic?
That's kind of funny. Well, he's a constant, we love bits, like, as I've told you before, and he just likes to do things like, he'll do things like the lying thing, like, the love of my life is in there that I do. Like, he gets himself into a lot of places, and by having that confidence and doing things, and has great bits. And I was talking about the speech, I was telling him, Jesus, man, I got to tell you, I'm more stressed about this than I've been stressed about, you know, doing Conan for the first time. I go, well, I just can't mess it up. He goes, it's all good. I'm kind of pissed right now anyway. He goes, my fiance is now wife, who's awesome, but he was like, she won't let me do some bits. I go, I knew you wanted to do bits. What bits did you have, though? I guarantee she's right. He goes, well, I did have one. I had one bit I thought would be good. I go, what? He goes, okay, here's what I was thinking, and I think this is funny, but you and I, we stage a fake fight. Like, we get in a fight, like a real on, like, big argument in front of people, and then you call me out for something that's like a big secret, you know, and that it shouldn't be explained, and we'll have a cake there. But we'll have two cakes. We'll have one cake in the back, but the wife, he goes, but Heidi doesn't know this. I'm giving all the names away. But he goes, but nobody knows. Only you and I know. And then you throw me into the cake, and then we both fall into this giant cake,
yeah,
into the ground. And then, you know, they separate, and then we tell everybody we're kidding. I said, okay, one, no, that's a horrible plan. I said, two, I know you, Elliot. You love to commit. I go, I know exactly what happened. That would happen. You'd get such a rush and turned on from everybody thinking this is real, mm-hmm, that you wouldn't say it's fake. And then I would be thrown out of the fucking hotel,
yeah,
and arrested probably. And he was like, right, yeah, damn it, you're right. I totally would do that. I would love that. I would never yeah, confess to that.
He'd be like, he'd be like bailing you out of jail, being like, it was funny.
Yeah, actually, he would keep it going probably right, for 10 years. He would be like, I don't know why you keep saying that's a prank. I can't believe you'd do that at my wedding. Like, he would do that. Anyway, I remember we were in high school, and he got a fake idea. Like, I think we were 15 at the time, and he was trying to buy beer. And I remember, and it's like an outdoor amphitheater, and I think it was like, who was the band that everybody saw in high school?
Dave Backstreet Matthews. Boys.
It was Dave, I mean, Matthews.
Yeah, that one.
So Dave Matthews. Backstreet Boys.
I mean, Green Day. That's what it said.
Evan, yeah, and Jaren. Mm.
Dave Matthews was the one that
Six
everybody
pence
went
none
to.
The richer.
We just aged yourself. But we're there, and it's one of those instances where he got out of it by just committing to something. Mm-hmm. So he gets caught by security, and they were throwing him out. And he goes, no, don't throw me out. Please don't throw me out. And they were taking his figure. They were going to give it to cops. And yeah, he goes, no, please, come on, don't. And they said, okay, all right, how about this? We won't throw you out of here or arrest you or whatever. If you stand up on this podium or whatever this thing is, like this, like whatever, trash can, and just announce to everybody that you're an idiot who thought it was okay to have an ID underage, and that you're in, like something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So Elliot goes, no problem. And in front of hundreds of people, he gets up there and he goes, ladies and gentlemen, I'm an idiot who has a fake ID and I love to touch little boys.
Oh,
and
God.
He just starts going in and just committing and mm-hmm, making them laugh with these horrible thinking, because they thought they were going to embarrass a teenager.
Right.
And he just doubled down like, you think that's embarrassing? Watch what I say. And then he doubled down so hard that they gave him his ID back and got him beer. Because they were like, Jesus, man, damn, you're not getting laid anyway. Like,
yeah,
here
yeah,
you go.
Yeah, exactly.
You ruined it for yourself.
Might as well drink.
Is there a public speaking situation that you don't feel comfortable in?
Well, the wedding was, but I think it is until you hold the mic. And then he was like, it's all right, man. You just have to do 6 minutes. I did 30, I think.
Jeez.
Yeah, I told him, I said, I'm doing a tight 25
but
is what crushed, I told him.
Yeah?
But I'm walking, it's a wireless mic. And yeah, he, I don't know how much he spent on the wedding, but it was too much. And I'm just going through this and just killing, like mm-hmm, table to table, having a blast. I couldn't, you know.
Now, as someone who...
Public speaking, I don't know if there is a thing if I'm actually start speaking that I'm...
As nervous. Someone who just did a wedding, I would imagine that if my best man did something like that, I'd be like, dude, we only have the band
for
so long.
Yeah.
Like, I'd be tackling you.
I was killing too hard. And it's one of those situations, like, if your wedding, that's a lot of entertainers at the wedding.
Yeah.
This wedding is like, I'm the only one... Which makes it harder because they're
business.
Like, you better be good. Yeah,
yeah,
the only
yeah,
one
yeah.
That's
the
a stupid.
That's a
I mean,
lot of
that's
pressure.
The. It's almost like being at an airport and like, I don't know. All right, look. As soon as I start this analogy,
yeah,
I go,
like,
this is not
being at an airport.
Well, I was trying to think like, and for chefs, like, what's a setting where like people go, like, they're not supposed to be performing or cooking,
like a barbecue, like a cookout.
Yeah.
But you're a chef.
They brought potatoes out, or maybe like hop on the grill, and it's like, you better not fuck up this hot dog, Jim.
Hey, I thought you were one of those chefs. This is such a bad. Everybody loves to be like an asshole too. Thought you were funny.
Everyone's a critic.
Yeah, right? I had people asking me like, oh, well, it's your wedding, so you're probably gonna like do time, right? I'm like, no. Why would I? Why would I do that? I usually get paid to do that. I'm not gonna pay what I'm paying for the wedding.
Yeah.
So I can now do time in front of. Friends,
pay
family.
My friends and family.
Yeah,
the only time I
watch me do this.
No, God, no.
Although we did watch him do the worm in the middle of the dance floor.
Yeah, well, that's love, baby.
Yeah,
I gotta do the worm. The woman I love is in there.
No, literally.
No, we just got married. Yeah. I'm gonna do the worm. It's fine. that was something where, I mean, sure, the alcohol's flowing, and I think a dwarf doing a worm, that's like...
Yeah, no one's going to stop that.
Yeah, that's universally
loved. Nothing better than a nice boozy wedding dance. You're wearing your outfit and nice...
Do you go hard in the wedding dance
portion? I'm not going to lie to you, and this is not to be funny. I was in such a good place at that wedding, mm-hmm. and I had a good buzz going, and they had the stage, you know, it was up like maybe like 4 or 5 feet above us.
Band or DJ?
Band.
Solid.
And I, in that moment, and almost did it, thought I could do a backflip off, not off the stage, but do a running like straight out of Keanu where they kick off the garage backflip. My confidence and happiness and just level of excitement,
all-time high,
and attention seeking, I was like, I got it. And I almost did it. And the only person who stopped me was Elliot, because everybody thought I was kidding. But Elliot saw, he's my best friend, and he saw it in my eyes. He goes, whoa, okay, all right, Brent, we know what you're thinking here. And it's, you're not going to, for the first time in your life, when you've never attempted a backflip.
No.
Wait, so he just looked in your
30,
eyes?
At 30, just go, I'm doing this. He could tell.
Did he just look in your eyes and go, he's thinking about doing a backflip?
Well, because I kind of announced it too. Like, move. And so I'm about to do the whole, so I got to,
now there's
an audience.
Oh, no.
That's all it takes, dude.
That's where my head went.
To do anything stupid or great, it takes an audience.
Yeah. Then I just had a cigar the whole night that wasn't lit and kept walking around like I was Sinatra.
That's okay.
Even went to a nightclub like later. I don't know why I went to a nightclub.
Holding it?
Had it, holding it. And, you know, still wearing a thing.
What if it was
down.
A toothpick and you just thought it was a cigar the whole time?
I got to check the pictures. Maybe you're right. It was a good time. I was in Quebec. I mean, it was just,
I know that's a great party city, is it?
It was
That's what Montreal is.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but it wasn't, it's just a smaller, like, village of, like, a Montreal.
A village?
A Montreal. It's smaller than Montreal. And then I did an all-French comedy festival there.
Wow.
Last Sunday there after the wedding, I just, because they had a festival there, like a smaller kind of JFL. And I...
What, did you fake it?
To Comedy Ha or some bullshit.
You just stayed and they let you go up?
Well, because I saw that it said open mic, and I said, is there any English speaking? And they go, only on the open mic on Sunday, they have some. And I was like, so I said, that's what we're doing Sunday, because I stayed an extra day.
Dope.
And so did like the husband and wife and the wife's parents. And I was like, well... At night, I just announced it, because if I announce it, it means I have to do it. Mm-hmm. So I was like, in the breakfast in the morning, I go, I'm doing this tent thing tonight at 7, because it was uncomfortable to me, and I'm like, I got to do it. And then I showed up, and they obviously were like, no. And then the only time I was like, I'm not like one of these, because we've been day drinking too. I go, I'm telling you, I'm a comedian in America. I could do it. Do they understand English?
Right.
And then I actually said, for the first time in my life, I go, could you just Google me?
Yes.
And then they came back 5 minutes later, and they let me close the show.
Wow. So I was like,
there you go.
Yeah.
How'd it go?
It went great, but I definitely wasn't in a state of mind to be doing stand-up, but
no.
It was such a great way to end. And then his wife said, what a perfect way to end my wedding weekend. So I was like, oh, thank God.
I didn't blow it.
His parents loved it. Yeah, it was great. So I came out on top on that one.
It's a weird thing that, and I think we all have this, to where, you could be at a wedding or you could be on a vacation, but if you see something that says open mic night, you're like,
Yeah,
like,
it's interesting.
I might as well just do it.
Yeah, we were even thinking when we were in Tahoe for his bachelor party, there was, right? Like, wasn't there a moment when the going to do sets, Sarah Tiana was at the improv, and we were
over. And, no, I do a guest spot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think it was your best man.
Yeah, it was like, no.
Yeah, hey,
don't
man.
Do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. You do that every day. You don't have to do
yeah,
that.
This is your bachelor party. Don't, like, stop the whole, we don't want to be at a dinner and be like, sorry, now we have to end this because I got to go, you know, jerk off in front of a group of strangers.
But you do, I mean,
that's
just
what my act is, by the way.
It's his closer. It's a
not
great
even,
closer.
It's not even a metaphor.
Get tickets.
It's what I actually do.
Brad William?
Brad Williams. I was said to say Williams. I said William for some reason.
Yo, how's the flight to London?
Long as shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. 12 hours?
Yeah.
Turbulent?
Yeah, it did. Also, what happened to you? I saw you tweet something about turbulence. What happened?
Dude, literally.
Where were you coming from?
Seattle.
Okay.
Which I've done a lot.
Yeah.
I've flown a lot.
Yeah.
A lot. Like, even not even prior to headlining, which has been, 4 years now? I mean, the amount of middling flights, the amount of just travel. I mean, dude, just flying.
Way more than the average person.
I think man. Even in college, like vacays and spring break things and growing up, like, you know, to see my dad and grandparents, I've just been on a ton of planes. And turbulence used to freak me out when I was a kid. And I remember being like, man, I'm never going to be able to be a comic because of that.
Yeah.
Like, I literally was convinced, like, that was part of the reason I was pumping the brakes on even getting into this, because I was like, I don't want to fly that much. I'm terrified of it.
Yeah.
Then you just get to a point where you get over it.
Yeah.
Or you get more tolerant of it. But what I experienced last night was, I mean, dude, I was literally, I was telling Brad this just before we started. I was so numb and shaky for 4 hours after, wow. at least, which has never happened because I let myself go to a place, dude, where that was it. And I've never done that on a plane before. Where
what 12, was it doing?
Dude, it was literally the captain gets on or no, they just put the seatbelt sign on. It's about 20 minutes before you're supposed to descend. So, you know, it's like 30 minutes before you land, you start to descend. You know, and they go, all right, we're going to put your tray tables up and a bunch of shit that doesn't fucking matter. But do it anyway, just because we said so. And, hey, could you give me a drink? I can just hold it. Just give it to me so we can have it ready to fucking wash out for the next. But we probably won't even wash it, but can you just give it to me? You know, all this shit. And so the flight attendant comes on and he's like, guys, please put your tray tables up and your seats up. We're actually going to descend a little bit early or get everything ready because there's a little bit of choppy, there's some choppiness going on. So before we land, and then all of a sudden, literally like a minute later, and I kind of like buckle my seatbelt and I kind of open the window. I can't see shit. And then just like that was the first move. And it was almost like,
sounds like a horror movie.
But it was, dude, it was like the Jurassic Park T-Rex fucking boom, when the fucking glass shook in the Jeep. And then just dropped out of nowhere. Like we were on the Tower of Terror. And I was just like, not good. And there was no real prep. The flight attendant being like, it's a little choppy, so whatever. It was all very ominous. Like, nobody was really saying much. And then dropped again. And then a real violent shake. Like, the type of shake where I was like, oh, I feel like we hit another plane. Then dropped again. Then leveled out. Then
were
went.
Were people screaming at this point?
There was a lot of elements. I'd never heard a unified collective, and I even said this on stage last night. It was all like some of the screams crossed and like harmonized, which like fucked me up because there was like like there was just like too many of those. I've never heard collective gasps. That's terrifying.
Yeah, when everybody is on the same page.
I've heard the Bill Burr, like that one guy next to you that's like one of those. I've heard that, but not as comical. But a bunch. Oh man. So now I go from 0 to 15 as far as a freak out level. Then I start praying. I've never prayed out loud before. I opened my window and was like, keep the plane up. Please God. Dude, I'm fucking freaking out because at this point I have registered.
And he's Jewish. They don't even believe in God.
No. Or keeping the plane up. And
or
so,
keeping the plane up.
And so I'm like, I don't really know
Judaism.
I'm like, stay up, please. I'm fucking just saying shit. And I remember the girl next to me was like, what are you saying? And I was like, shut the fuck up. And she had taken her shoes off earlier and we gotten into that. That's a whole other thing. When the flight started, she's like, can you put your bag in your seat more? I was like, can you put your shoes back on? She's like, whatever. And so the plane's shaking and I'm opening my window. I'm praying. Then the captain gets on and there was a ding, right? Like for him to say something where you feel like, all right, he's going to say something comforting. Hey, he's the voice of reason.
That. Yeah.
Some sort of like,
just like a, hey, that happens sometimes. Sorry about that.
Well, while it's happening, it's still happening.
Yeah. It's
so maybe
be
like,
the rest of
hey,
the way.
We're going to be a few more minutes or fasten your seatbelts or I've even heard just like, you know, hold on tight. Like I've heard like something to make us go like, all right, you're trying
you
to handle
sound
this.
Calm enough. That yes. I'm yeah. Gonna be okay.
This got to be his Harrison Ford moment where he's like, I've got this plane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're all safe.
Would have
you
loved
need
that.
It.
Would have loved him to play a little audio soundbite from Air Force One. Would have loved that.
That's true.
Right. Instead, and then just waiting. And then I just hear.
What?
Dude. And then click. I'm out. And I just, whoa. Oh no. And then another drop right after that, and then shaking, and then it felt like we were nosediving. And then that's when I was just like, I leaned back in my chair, dude, and I just grabbed the arms, and I was just like, dude, I went there. It was fucking crazy, dude. I get chills even talking about it because I can't believe I've
you
never...
Really, like, you just accepted, I can't do anything about this.
No, man, and also accepting that that's it. And I didn't freak out. I didn't like start to, you know, part of me, you start having some thoughts of like, man, I'm never going to see my family again. I'm never like, I don't know. I never got to see Beyonce live. Like, I fucking had a bowl of Twizzlers at home. Brad says this is what he plays. And I go, you play funeral music? He goes, yeah, I want to hear it before they do.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's my strategy.
I didn't know you were Scottish.
I'm not.
Even though he's got four leprechaun outfits in his commercial.
God, season. I wish that was a lie.
Yeah.
But, you know, sometimes
not, but hey.
Sometimes you have to have costumes ready for auditions.
Dude.
Jesus. Really?
Yeah, money.
Yeah.
Commercials.
What is
the rotation? Every dwarf has what? You've said it before.
Oh, elf outfit and a leprechaun outfit. Yes. We all have that.
Wow.
You all have to have that, which is always like, and the fact that I put them next to my suits is really weird.
No, it's not.
If, like, that's,
no, it's not.
Nah, dude, I think
it's in the silly business.
Yeah. It's like, I just figure, like, if someone robs me, they're like, oh, let's get, you know, let's go to where the nice suits are, which, you know.
Yeah, what a robber, by the way, is like, yo, we gotta, let's rob this house, because the fucking mixer's right after.
Yeah. Yeah, and then, like, they
the
just
mixer.
Open it up, it's like, wait, leprechaun suit?
Yeah.
Elf suit?
Yeah.
James Bond suit?
Yeah, they're
the
confused.
Fuck?
You have a James Bond suit?
I mean.
That's amazing.
Wow.
I think every guy.
I've seen you in a zoot suit.
Yeah.
I like that he asked the question, but you kept staring at me. I mean, I got a James Bond suit.
I've already impressed Adam enough.
Like, yeah.
You already know I don't have one. Yeah. That's why he's looking at me.
Well, I'm staring at you like,
I got you don't have one.
You don't have one, bitch.
No, I got a Zara suit. Oh, Brent.
Oh, Jesus.
I thought you were on television.
What is that, man?
Hey, guys. Adam Ray here. I always laugh when someone says, dude, you should sell that. Like, it's just that easy. Between traveling, doing shows, trying to remember what city I'm in, I don't know where I am right now. Wait, New Zealand. The last thing I want to do is figure out how to build an online store. That's why I love Shopify. Anytime I've got something to put out in the world, whether it's tickets, merch, or anything in my life, Shopify takes care of the checkout experience so I don't have to. When someone's ready to buy, it's quick and easy. If they're coming back, their information is already there, so they're checked out in no time. Yep, that noise you heard, that means I get to spend less time worrying about the technical side of things and more time doing what I actually love, which is creating and making you guys laugh. Or not laugh. Maybe you hate me. I don't know. It's no surprise Shopify powers millions of businesses, from people just getting started to some of the biggest brands in the world. With Shopify, nothing stands between your idea and a real business. So go make it one. Start your free trial at shopify.com/aboutlastnight. Start your free trial at shopify.com/aboutlastnight. shopify.com/aboutlastnight.
Listen up.
Huh?
That means you. Yes, you. We know you're pointing at yourself. When it comes to Paddy Power games, we've got a place made for all sorts. From the experts to the drama queens.
It's me, the GC.
The finance bros.
Look at those stocks, lads.
We'll stick with slots. It's what we're good at. And not forgetting you. Yes, you, the one listening. Because at Paddy Power games,
we've got all sorts of games for all sorts of treacles.
Eligibility rules and terms and conditions apply. Please gamble responsibly. 18+. Gambleaware.org.
So wait, what happened when it landed? Like, was
and then in my head, I'm like, all right, this dude, I can only assume he tried to comfort us, right?
Yeah.
He probably clicked the thing and leaned over and was like, yo, we got to say something. Like, do we say, hold on to your butts?
Yeah. No, Jack,
do we say, keep calm and carry on? Do we say, it's going to be all good? Like, I know you felt the bumps, but, you know, but like, we're going to land this bit. Like, whatever he's going to say. And I think he probably felt the bump also, kept his finger on the thing, and just went, oh, no.
Yeah, oh, God.
Dude, I heard that crystal clear as day, and then that's when I was just, that again, that's when, and then a couple more bumps, and then the nosedive feeling, and then leaning back, because I'm just like, dude, I am never going to get to meet Lenny Dykstra. And so,
well, yeah, I mean.
It is funny who
anyway,
might go in your head, though.
You, dude,
you,
I mean,
you
I
will even, now because I, he's obviously listening to this
for
podcast.
For sure. I joke, but like none of those thoughts are there. It was, I went blank. I mean,
blank.
It was just like,
yeah.
and just numb it. And the fact that I was like, I mean, dude, I was just convinced, man. And then all these people were telling me planes never go down from turbulence, so you're fine. But it's like, dude, in the moment, you're not looking at chat charts and graphs. You're, mm-hmm. you're going off
statistics.
Emotion and what you see and don't see.
That and the fact
and
that
here around
that,
you,
yeah, that and the fact that there's that collective panic.
Yeah, that's
that
what
doesn't
freaks
make,
me out. When
because if you're
else.
The only one panicking, you're like, okay, maybe it's just me.
Yeah,
they all know something that I don't.
Yeah,
but then if like the whole plane's like, oh god.
Yeah, and especially when the pilot goes,
yeah,
like, dude,
what is that?
Go.
Welcome back to Don't Say
what?
That.
Don't click the thing.
I'll take things you shouldn't say to a passenger. A plane full
think,
of passengers.
Yeah, you would think there'd be like a literally a script where they could like open up and say, okay, we just had some turbulence. Read this.
Dude, you know how Gmail and iPhones have autocorrect or they'll suggest responses?
Yeah.
Have that in the fucking cockpit, man.
Yeah.
I think plane he did. Shakes. I think what happened is he goes, we're done. Oh, shit. You know, I think he probably went, oh, we're not done yet. You know?
But his panic was, I would
it
have
was be, so real.
Dude, it was so real. And then all of a sudden, dude, literally like, and it went on too for about 4 minutes, which
yeah,
is
which
long.
Is really long.
You're hearing that being like, that's, you know, that's
half
280
seconds. That's half a Brent Moore in Best Man speech.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That, was, nice. That was a fraction of it. That was my intro that I had him write.
Anyway, so I get on stage that night and Stone Brad, I started to just do jokes. And then I just stopped two jokes in and I just because I felt like I was reading off a script. I wasn't attached to anything.
Yeah.
Because I was still so out of my body. And then I just go, all right, I just got to talk about this. And I did, and found a lot of great beats and got a lot of some of the strongest laughs I think I've ever heard at the West Side Comedy Theater in that little room. But like, I went on last too, so they were just, they'd seen a lot. And just real. And it took me a while to find some moments. And then once I did, dude, they were so with me. And at the end of it, they were awing because I was pausing at some points, just being like, anyway, so that,
That just happened.
You could see on my face and I could feel it because I was like, dude, everything that I'm saying and being right now is the most true and authentic I think I've been in a long time, where you're just so connected to what you're talking about because you're so, you can't fake anything. There's no,
and you needed to get it out. Somehow,
I would have felt really bad if I got off stage. I would have felt
you probably would have been way worse drive home if you didn't talk about it on stage.
No, you're exactly right. It was cathartic, dude.
Yeah.
Have you had a moment like that where something happened, a breakup or something, and you?
Even a breakup.
My
last breakup, I was like, I was a little fucked up, obviously fucked up from it, and then it was like I did 2 weeks of I didn't perform for 2 weeks, and I haven't done that in like 8 years for that long. And then I had to go to Tempe to headline the Improv there, and it was the first gig I'd done in 2 weeks, which feels like 18 years.
For those who don't do stand up, it's weird that like if I go 3-4 days without doing stand up, the next time I go on stage feels weird to me.
Oh, it's
like it's not.
And sometimes it can work to your benefit. Like this last week when I was sick, I had some great shows that I had to cancel. And I only did a Friday Saturday, which I haven't done that in a long time, and they were awesome because I was like laughing genuinely and having a good time. But I remember when I went to Tempe and I got on stage at Tempe, and I have the kind of act where I was like, I have to talk about it. I can't not talk about the breakup, especially when my whole new hour I was gonna do was about me being in a relationship. So I need to find, you know, like at least the theme of it. Like, you know, there's a theme.
Is that strange where as a comic you're going through that horrible breakup, but was there ever that voice in your head that's like, all right, I gotta make this work for the material?
Well, I had to push it. I had to figure something out. And I was like, even like doing any other special, I was like, well, I have to figure out how to compartmentalize whatever this thing is in my head. And I'll never forget, I was with Jason Collings, another comedian, and we get, first off, it was so great to leave my own place.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, this feels better. And then I did the first show and finally was like, well, she left. And then like I just said it with no plan.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, for the whole weekend, it was like 5-hour-long therapy sessions that turned out to be amazing. And I was
probably
like,
some of the best shows you've ever done. Yeah.
Oh, they were just so great because when I woke up the next morning, I was like, I didn't feel like complete shit. And I was like, oh man, I'm so happy I have stand up. Me and Jason were talking about this all the time. Like, thank God we have this thing for an outlet.
Because most people don't have that.
Yeah. I don't know what I would do without that outlet.
Like,
because
we have something where not only are we allowed to get our feelings out, but we literally have a captive audience.
Yes.
They can't really leave. Like, they can, obviously. It's free. But like they're trusting you, and they're gonna stay there, and they're gonna listen to you.
And
it's
they want to listen. They want you to be good too, especially when you're on a road, because they fucking paid to be there.
Right.
And they're like, you better be good. Yeah. I need this.
It's not it's not a
goes
friend.
Both ways here.
Yeah. It's not a friend of yours that like you guys like, hey man, she left me, and he's like, well, fuck some chicks. All
right, dude, fuck her. She sucked. It's like, no man, I don't want any of that right now. I just need you to just kinda, but you also can't just, unless you're a complete narcissist sociopath, you can't just sit and talk at somebody for 2 hours about the same fucking thing and not let them speak.
Right.
Like, that's just not how it should work. And I don't like that anyway, so I kinda just kept to myself and did it on stage for the most part. There was a few people that I would talk to, like now, David Sullivan and stuff.
How much do you need to work through something? And Brad, I want you to answer this too. Like, how much of something that does, like with your dad when he was going through cancer, like how much of that do you need to sit down, and for you with the breakup, and sit down and really think through before
let's
you take it to
open with breakup next time. And and close with cancer. You can't call your dad with cancer and you with the breakup. And you and your bullshit teenage fucking problems, Brad.
Oh, really? You weren't getting laid that week?
I don't know where she is either. No. let's do it the other way.
Well, I didn't... When my dad was going through
cancer shit headline, you're right.
Yeah, cancer shit headline. Name my special. cancer shit headline.
Well,
cancer shit headline. Like, I didn't talk about my dad.
Herbie, you should feature her.
How'd you know she did? No, I'm kidding. That didn't happen at all. I'm completely clean. All women everywhere and some shit.
Well, like,
it happened out of nowhere.
Yeah. I didn't talk about my dad and what he was going through until, and if you were at the Comedy Works this one night, then it's when I talked about it, because I knew my dad was going in for like this appointment where he was either going to be told, hey, you're good, or it didn't work and we got to go through another round of chemo, which would have been the third round of chemo, and that's not fun.
No. Well, and for a multitude of reasons.
Yeah.
That's a word, right?
Multitude? Sure.
Yeah.
I believe so.
I love that word, and I don't use it enough, but I think that's it.
Yeah. But yeah, it was...
Because of his age, right? Like, the older you get, like, the more... Yeah. Chemo, the more any sort of procedures.
It's poison. You're putting poison in your body to kill something worse than poison. So it's not good. And so I knew that he was going in that day. So I knew that if I got a phone call, that's probably what it was going to be about. And it was backstage. All day went. No phone call. I was backstage right before I went on stage. And my phone rings and I see it's my mom. And I'm like, fuck, this is the call. I can't not pick it up.
Yeah.
And I... answer the phone, I say hello, and the first words out of her mouth are, he's in remission.
Oh.
And I fell to the ground, and I started, like, sobbing like I've never sobbed like this before. Yeah. And, like, the comics that were in the room are like, we just heard him take a phone call and start sobbing. We don't know what the fuck this is. They're like, what should we do? And then I'm like, and I tell him, like, my dad, he's in remission. He had cancer. Now he doesn't have cancer anymore. He's in remission. He's going to live. And, and then literally as I'm doing that, you hear from the stage, please welcome Brad Williams.
Wow.
And I'm like, fuck.
Yeah.
And I like run on stage and I like wipe the tears out of my eyes, but it's still very obvious that I've been crying.
Yeah.
And that show was when I was like, all right, I guess I have to talk about it now. And that was pretty much what I did that night with a lot of, with, you know, some fine tuning, became the stuff that people saw in the Daddy Issue special.
Yeah.
In the end where I talk about it.
So no prep.
No prep.
Just raw emotion.
Just because.
That's so cool.
Because I feel like when it's that raw emotion, that's when it's the most pure, because you can't substitute that. You can't plan for that. You can't like be like, well, if this had happened to me, what would I say right now?
Yeah. And also you trusted yourself enough, and I think all of us, like at this point, you just go, I know where to find the beats. I know what's funny about it on one pass. You know, you want to go through and proofread your own thoughts, but like, you know, at this point, I think
you do it enough, then you know. Okay, I know when I say it, this I'll get a laugh.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. You know, and then if it's something special, then you go and you fine tune it. But the fear of just talking about something you hadn't thought about, you know, or is on
makes
your mind,
you raise your game.
You just do it. You know,
And sometimes you take that big swing, and I think just the idea of taking the swing at something when you're like, man, I haven't even put this ball on a tee, and now I'm just fucking going to try to take a swing off of fucking Eggersley. Like, you know, but then you just even getting in the batter's box, I think the universe just rewards you by being like, you know what, man, you're getting, like, because sometimes we can all attest, you do a new bit that has more pieces to it than you anticipated, and fucking the crowd's with you, and you're locked in, and you get a couple great laughs early, and you're like, oh, now I'm going to say everything I think about this.
Yep.
And now it just gives you that energy to try more.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But
oh,
also the flip side, like, you know, you hear one cough and one like, what? And you go, I don't know, man. All right, so fucking pizza.
The definition of what I do when I'm working shit out is I'll take something at home. Like, if you're on fire, I'm in a good mood. I'm going to take this kid hitting on a teacher bit and turn a 3-minute thing into 15 minutes of him doing
it. Is that how that happened?
Yeah, the way I decide it for my act, if I have a good, if something I think is like solid, is if it could be 3 minutes or 2 minutes or 12 minutes. Mm-hmm. And so I have certain things that I talk about, and I just keep trying to find it, the newest version of my life where I could figure that out, whether now it's like a bit I do about, you know, my girlfriend walking away and then me having a back and forth with her, or me being with Rico on a boat tour, you know, and just if I can have this back and forth, and if the crowd is in, then I'm going.
Yeah.
But even if they're the greatest crowd, there's still a moment where they go, all right, man, move the fuck up.
Yeah, yeah.
This is way too long. Yeah,
but that's
so
the
I
dance.
Take it there, and then you can hear the... Then I go, all right, that's it for that.
Yeah.
And then I go, okay, so we know we can't go that far with it.
Yeah.
But that's the beauty of getting that line and either going over it.
Oh,
or,
it's the best. When you find something, you go, oh, fuck, yes. Yeah. Like I'll figure that out.
Does Rick Glassman not honor where the line is? And does he just is
he blows by it?
Is he in the bit boat just like driving circles around you on you're like you're in the water holding onto a life preserver and he's in the bit boat just driving circles around you waiting to pick you up and put you in the boat and take you back to shore where it's calm and nice and there's TV and weed, but also sometimes he's just like I'm going
yeah he goes
and
you're like you know he has what? A coffee then it's forget it and it's go home to town Ricky Glassman. Who I love. I actually think we're going to do a podcast together. We live in the same apartment complex.
Yeah,
we're like, why not?
Dude, man.
It's like perfect.
Also, he's just so entertaining. I mean, we ran into each other in an audition the other day.
Oh, really?
And like, he had me tape a video for him.
Was that you who taped it?
Yeah.
Man, focus, Rick. Get the job.
Yeah, I know. And he goes, hey, can you go? And by the way, there's this kid.
Did he make you do 10 takes?
I told him I was doing one take.
Good.
And so
you have to.
And there's because there's parents and there's a kid.
Yeah, that, I saw the kid. Yeah.
So afterwards, I pan over and then and Rick goes he goes, oh, I'm gonna stay here and we were talking to some guy in there and he goes it was for a teacher role and Rick goes, you look like you're a teacher, you're gonna get the job probably. And then he looks over this kid, he goes, right? He goes, oh, whatever, what do you know? And the kid goes, I've seen it all, Jesus.
Shit.
And then Rick just goes, oh my god, new best friend. He goes, you know, I'm gonna be here a while, I'm gonna be new best friends with this guy, you know. And so I walk out and then we see him in the parking lot and we just end up talking for like 20 minutes, like just doing nonstop bits. And there might not be anybody better as far as like yes ending everything. Like there's no, it took a hard 4 or 5 bits and turns and tangents before he just stopped and goes, all right. And I was like, all right. And then even that prompted another like,
yeah.
So that must be all the time when you're living.
I used to always say, I go, Rick, you'd be the worst partner on an Amazing Race. Because like, there's no place. It could be the mobile station, and he's got to do a bit with the guy behind the counter, and you know you got to do a bit here. I go,
that's
Rick, can
so
we just
funny.
Get to the place where we have to do bits?
Gotta get to Cuba, Rick.
Like, what are we doing here?
Yeah, I hadn't talked
to neighbors. Though.
I hadn't talked to that guy in like maybe 6 months, just because of road and whatever. And then one time he got off the stage at the Hollywood Improv. I was going on next. And he walked up to me. I haven't seen him in 6 months. And he just grabbed my hand and he kissed it. And he goes, my lord. And then he just walked off.
Yeah, like, I think we're going to do
the
it.
Fuck? Did you just watch Game of Thrones?
Well, come on. You have so much podcast experience at this point. This is now your 11th
did it.
Time on our podcast.
And did it.
I mean,
you know, it's funny. We actually were going to do it today, but I was working today. And
on your show?
Yeah, trying to finish the rewrite on it.
Can we talk about that at all?
We could talk about the process.
You're working on it.
I sold a show.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A pitch to Showtime that I'm hoping happens.
And a lot of nudity?
Yeah, there will be.
Yes.
For real?
Yeah, it's a dark,
great.
It's dark comedy, but it's
male
me.
Male
so
nudity?
It'll be funny.
Male nudity?
Probably me.
Yes.
But there'll be a lot of violence. There'll
bring
be a lot
on,
of love.
Yeah.
A lot of
now,
drugs.
Now you're going to be a full twink.
There'll be a lot of shit. It will be the opposite of Justin. That's for sure. Where I played on Undateable.
So no singing?
No, only if like somebody puts a gun to my head and makes me, I think.
It's
it
kind of dark, huh?
Yeah, it's kind of like a Narcos meets Felicity. That's like the best way to describe it. It's like it has all the like love and relationships of a Felicity where you get insecure, but you're like, maybe she's the one. Mm-hmm. But then it's also violent in the drug world, and it's in South Beach, and it's somewhere
how do you
I
write?
Be.
How do you write for South Beach?
Tell me, that's one of the things we're dealing with. But we've had a great meeting, great shit so far. Mm-hmm. But hopefully
takes time, right? I mean,
it's taking fucking so goddamn long, and I didn't know that.
What's the main hold up?
It's just because you got to get it in, but then it's like, you know, Showtime doesn't buy a lot, and you know, so it's a process. We did a note session on the outline, and they're actually so good with notes.
Great.
So because it's because everything they work on, they give a shit about. So
yep.
So I don't know, but there's still so many like challenges, and you know, when we sold it, with Bill Lawrence, who did Undateable, me, Spin City Scrubs.
Yep.
We're co-writing it together.
Great. Is that fun?
It is, because we do it a different way. It's kind of like a master class for me, because when I was in film school, I was more of a screenwriter, and I found that TV writing, which I've written other TV shows but never sold anything. There's just an art to it, like anything, like stand up, you know. So it's almost like he's the headliner and I'm like the opener. He's helping,
cool.
You know, because there's like certain things where I think I know it, and I learned very early on in film school, and I think in anything, put your ego aside and just listen to the person who's been doing it longer than you.
Absolutely.
Whether you agree on a joke or some shit or a story thing, like we have the things I'm confident about, he listens to. But on structure, like certain things, it's like, no, him, it makes a lot of sense. You know,
it's good to not be the smartest
why
person
he's
in the
been,
room.
That's why
this guy
shows.
Has, you know, however many houses and shit. I don't know. But and then Zach Braff to direct the pilot.
What?
No shit.
He pitched it with us. Yeah.
Wow.
Awesome.
So he's attached to direct the pilot. And we have a great same sensibility. When I was in film school, people used to call me Zach Braff because...
Because you have a weird chin?
Yeah, you know, because, yes, when I booze, we talk about that. We talk about that. Where I was like, man, when I drink, my fucking chin goes away. It goes, me too, man. And then my voice. A lot of people were like, you sound like Zach Braff. And then, the, you know, I think also we're both like... good looking enough, but not really. You know, like we're not hot guys, but we're like right there where it still works. So that I just like that's what I gathered. That's
a weird level.
That's a quote from a buddy in film school who told me, he goes, oh, right. Hey, you like Zach Braff here, you know, because you're good looking, but you're not too much. So you're kind of like right there. And your voice, you got that thing where you like talk through your nose sometimes. And I'm like, all right, man, I don't even know that's a compliment.
Just this guy's got all the career. My self-confidence.
No, it's a good thing.
It's a weird thing for a teacher to say to a student.
Yeah. I actually had that moment. Our last pitch was at Showtime, and I had that moment when, because he's directing it, so he's explaining how he would visually set it up and what he would do, and it was everything I would say if I was him. So Whoa. That was a great thing in my head. But I had a moment where I'm sitting there and I got Warner Brothers here, I got Bill Lawrence here, I got Zach Braff there on my side. It's like a table of people, and then the Showtime people there, and I'm kind of looking over while Zach's talking, and I've some reason, like, I shouldn't have been thinking like this. I'm so ADD, I should be focused on the damn pitch. But I started thinking about, well, this is so funny, because in college I remember watching Scrubs, and then he did Garden State.
Love that
and
movie.
Thinking that's the kind of career I want. I want to go and do a TV show and then be able to make my own thing.
Yep.
and it work. And the fact that I'm next to him and he's pitching on my show, my idea, to direct it, I'm like, Jesus, this is kind of cool.
Wow.
So, but fucking God damn it, Brent, I gotta get it made.
Yeah.
So right now we're in the script process. You may never see it.
Yeah.
My only goal right now is to hopefully shoot it.
Yes.
So that's the thing. People don't realize that when you sell something, you have a 1 in 10 chance of selling it. This is mm-hmm. what a professor told me one. 1 in 10 chance of selling, 1 in 10 chance of getting the pilot made, 1 in 10 chance of getting it picked up. That's how you should always treat it. And that's where mentally I am in my head, so I'm not like daydreaming about like great things.
But
so far, it's good.
But yeah. but one thing that people will be able to see is you got a movie coming out, The Outdoorsman.
Oh yeah, that just got into the Austin Film Festival.
Dope.
So
there
I'm
it is.
Going to that. I just saw it. Like I haven't seen anything on it, but it comes out Austin Film Festival. When is that, by the way? October something.
Why are you looking at me?
Because I don't know. Because
you brought it up, notes guy.
I've never done like a festival, like a film festival before.
Oh, cool.
Like when I'm in
like
it,
a screening.
And I'm the star of the goddamn thing. So I kind of
with Shazier Zameda from SNL.
Yes, oh, she plays my love interest in it.
Yeah,
And I'm 40 pounds heavier than I am now.
You're a guy.
That great thing.
Yeah, you're a guy that just decides to. What, leave your life and live?
What's it say, the IMDb? I'm really curious about what their synopsis is. Because I
amateur actor Brent Morin stars.
Yeah. Not Zach Braff stars in the film.
Not Zach Braff! God damn it, he's so rich.
Dude, a million episode at one point, right?
I don't know what it was, but I remember there's a Fletch jersey in Bill Lawrence's office before we like met, before we were going to pitch the show, and I'm working on some of the notes of like the pitch stuff and my like just writing it on my laptop, and Zach walks in and we're buddies now, so he's fucking with me, and he sees that Fletch jersey right there autographed by Chevy Chase or whatever. It's like framed in Bill's office. He goes, I got that for Bill's birthday. What'd you get him for his birthday like a while ago? And I just
cast of Fletch.
And I said, Zach, I said, our show wasn't a hit, okay? I can't afford frame gifts. And it killed Zach. He tells everybody that story.
That's
now. He goes,
so
it's funny. I just caught him right away.
It's a big
like,
gift.
Can't afford frame gifts, Zach, okay?
That's so specific. That's
Mark my words, level. We're in the same damn boat. If my show was a hit, I'd get some frame gifts and that fucking car I can't pronounce that you have.
Your character decides to live in the wilderness for a year.
Yeah, there it is. There
Dope.
You go. But he doesn't do that, but you know.
He doesn't. Spoiler.
Maybe he does.
Oh,
look at that, man! I don't know how to pitch. No, it was fun.
We'll be right back with Brent Morin.
I have first movie. The director David Haskell is like super great to work with. Super low budget. I'm happy it got into a festival. I love Austin, so I'm excited for that because I'm going to be in Austin,
Cap City.
Yeah, September 21st, 23rd, baby. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that will air.
We're just there. You got to go to the. The Springs. Have you been before?
I have.
Yeah.
I think so.
They're a lot of fun.
Maybe I have. I know me, Brooks Whelan, and Andrew Santino rented kayaks once and went out there, and then Brooks fell out trying to grab a turtle and the kayak hit him in the head. That was funny.
The humping turtles?
I don't know what turtles, but it
there's probably only one turtle cove that we saw.
because Adam and I did the same thing. We were out in the kayaks and we saw a bunch of turtles.
Oh yeah, it was a ton of really. They were fucking.
Yeah,
oh, it was great. And then we got some also those like shitty little bottles of plastic wine from like a gas station on the way there. Yeah. And we rented bicycles to get to the kayak. It was a great day, but I just remember being in the kayaks. And we open the little red wines, and we're out there on the water. And we sip it, and we're looking around, and it's a nice day. And then Andrew Santino just goes, "Ah, just awful." Because the wine is the worst wine. But it's one of those, just awful. Horrible.
You're like this pristine moment. Yeah.
I love Austin, man. I love it so much.
Well, good. I'm glad you'll be... Now,
yeah, I'm glad it got in.
Now,
to something.
So do you do that to try to sell the film, or do you not know how that works?
Well, honestly, my only thing is like I don't know if I'm going to be able to be like to sit in the theater and watch me on that screen. I did.
It
see,
could be
like
Johnny Depp, who's like, I don't watch any of my movies except for Chocolat.
That got me going.
He doesn't watch anything.
I didn't watch a lot of Undateable till recently.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know I'm just going to critique myself too much.
Can you do? It's already done.
But now I kind of like it. Like when I watch it, like I just like watching it from a different like.
Remember, right? You're far away from
enough.
Yeah,
I think it's always a good thing to watch because then you kind of go. Because I remember watching, going, "What the fuck are you doing with your hand there, Brent? Why don't we put that one down for once?" You know, and you just little things. And I only saw like I did ADR for the movie, and I saw clips of me, and it was. I'm gonna watch this one because it's hilarious because I'm 200 pounds in it, so it's so funny to see my belly. And I was just laughing at it. So I was like, oh, I could easily watch.
Is your voice
this
different? Do you have like fat voice?
No, I honestly, I do have I am breathing a little bit different because it's supposed to be fall, but it's like 120 in the summer or something, and I'm wearing like flannels and the stupid bullshit. But
all right, that's an Academy Award.
Honestly, I gotta tell you, I didn't know. I think like my metabolism used to be so good, and then I remember talked to the director, and I was on the road.
Yeah.
And I was pretty much this or maybe a little bit more than this because I've been working out a lot so I could get my goddamn pilot made. But
yeah.
I remember talking to the director going as a joke because it was like 3 weeks out till shooting. I said, I wish I had some time to get in some shape for this. And he goes, oh, no. It's better if you're out of shape. So eat, enjoy yourself. No. If you're in bad shape, it'd
and
be
that's
better for the character.
All you have to hear.
And there's some funny scenes in there too that's improvised. Rick Glassman's in it too, by the way.
Oh, good.
And there's some funny scenes about me being out of shape. But I was like, we're going to Sbarro's. You know, I'm like, pull the pin. Well, because you're on the road, a lot of comedy clubs are in malls. So I go, let's go, Jason. I'm eating. Can we get some more chicken fingers for the? I just went to town, had some beer. It was enjoyable.
Hell
but
yeah.
I put on weight so fucking fast.
Oh, really?
I didn't know I could do that.
Does that scare you?
Yeah, because now I have to think about it a lot. Yeah.
Right.
So now I'm like, oh, so when I lost it, I had to lose it because then I had to pitch the show quickly after. I'm like,
can be walking
I can't
in, like,
be, especially me, because it's. Because I made a big mistake, obviously not because it's sold, but I went in after Undateable to sell a show, and Undateable wasn't like a hit show. It wasn't like a hit that was like everybody knew about, so when you're walking in, they know you. Like, when I'm walking in with Zach Braff, more people are like, Zach, you know, or good to see you, Zach.
Yep.
And nobody knew me, and were selling me as the star of the show, and a lot of, and I prefer acting to, you know, I like to separate the acting and the stand-up, so I'm not going in to pitch a show that's going to be me playing a comedian. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of shows that do that I love. So I don't know if that's what they were thinking, but I went in and realized, because we went and pitched and then I had to wait a week to hear, and I went in and pitching an action comedy, dark action comedy starring me, and I realized like in that week of like not hearing anything is where you go like, what the fuck were you thinking, you idiot? I remember I was washing my couch because I didn't hear anything. My mind was wandering. I go, you piece of shit. You fucking think you are going in like South Beach comedy, fucking idiot, piece of shit. You get guns, and you're the star. You think you're going to be the star of this, you piece of shit. Who are you, Martin Lawrence? You don't deserve a budget. That's a budget, Brent. You need an apartment in a city, and you're a comic. That's all that will work. You're going to sell this? No one even fucking cares about you. Like, And as I'm having a breakdown to myself, I get a call going, Showtime just bought it. I go, yeah, all right. Yeah, makes sense. Yeah. And I was like, oh, I was at a heart attack. I really was washing my couch.
Of course. Yeah.
But it was a really stupid, ambitious thing to do. But I always stay stupid and ambitious. That's what I realized.
Well, because if you're, because, and we've said it on this podcast before, because if you knew the odds and if you knew what was
what was ahead of you, you wouldn't do anything in this business.
Honestly, great advice that David Sullivan gave me in London when we were there. What a great little nugget. You can ask him about it. He said something to me that stuck with me. He said, why lose twice? And I said, what do you mean? He goes, well, you audition or you do shows or you do this, and there's always a chance you're going to lose, but why lose before you go into any of this shit? Like, if you're going to beat yourself before you lose a thing, you're going to lose twice.
Why and I was like, twice?
Fuck that. Like, and now I'm repeating it all the time. I want to get a tattoo on my fucking wrist.
Do you have a tattoo?
No, I want like 80 of them.
Yeah.
I just can't do it.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and stop you there.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, there you go. That's
I mean,
what do you watch that is, there's so much TV now, and I know, Brad, you use the road to catch up on shows, right?
I try, either.
Yeah, that's fun.
It's just like Netflix and HBO.
Well, there's so much, every week now there's a new show, and this is the first year in my life that I've been good about, like, trying to watch shows, because, it's our business, and there's just so much that I was just like, I'd be going to audition for stuff, and I was like, I'd try to watch clips to know the tone, but like... Dude, I mean, just saw Stranger Things, Ozark. I mean, and
Ozark's
just
great. I binged that. I think that's why Netflix didn't take my show. But yeah, not my show's nothing like it, but there are similar kind of tones to it.
Well, you're Jason Bateman-y.
Fuck, I'd kill for that hair.
He's a beast, huh?
He's just so good in that,
everything.
Man. That thing is great. That thing is great.
How do you feel about binging versus having a show like Game of Thrones, like?
Honestly, Game of Thrones I haven't gotten into because...
Me neither.
I'm like the only person...
I have to.
Apparently.
There's a dwarf in it.
I want to, badly.
I say the exact
Didn't
same thing.
Didn't we have a podcast here where you went off on Peter a little bit?
Yeah, that's every other podcast here. Other I find some way to go off.
I remember you going off.
That
I was like,
stupid
Jesus.
Scar. Huh? We get it. Oh, you brave. You cut yourself at the show. Now you get all the chicks. Fuck you.
Did he really cut himself?
No. Oh. He did.
Every 2 weeks, Brad finds a way to dig Dinklage.
Sure.
Fuck him.
Right? What's he done?
Until he comes on the podcast.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait to get him on the podcast.
I'm the same way, though, man. Game of Thrones, I watched like 20 minutes of the first episode, and everyone was like, and Chris D'Elia talked about it on his podcast, where he was like, he goes, everyone's like, it gets so good 3 seasons in. Hey, that's like having a sandwich and being like, the last bite's the best. Like, be good right away. You know? Be so good right away.
Yeah.
That right. And I'm like, dude,
good.
I'm like, that's fucking such a great way to look at it. And look, I know that there's the anticipation of a TV show and like getting all the facts and all the, you know, establishing characters, whatnot, but I don't know. I was waiting for a dragon. I didn't get it in the first episode. I saw a naked butt, but I was like, dude, I can see a butt anywhere. And Google butts. All right. Or don't do it. I don't know.
I can see a butt anywhere.
So I don't know. It took me, you know. So it's really... Ozark, I was in right away. Friends from college.
Friends from college. I love.
Yeah, me too. I was in right away.
Yeah, that one got me right. I binged the shit out of that.
And that's
that
a comedy.
One.
That's not that's obviously not.
So what are you going to do in your show to get people right away?
I don't know. That was one of the things I talked
Butts
about.
Butts of dragons.
Well, I think in TV in general, especially now because you can binge, it's important to have Stranger Things. That was one of the at the time was like the hottest show, and I went out to sell this one, That was one of the things I was kind of pitching, and the hope that we would have from the show is that where Stranger Things kind of leaves you on like, well, I got to see what happens.
Yeah.
You know, where you have to go with what the fuck? Even if you're not invested immediately in the first episode, you go, well, what happens to the...
Right.
And my only, like, not my only goal, but one of my goals is I don't see a lot of comedies that do that, that do it in that way. So I was wondering if there was a way to do that. So that's kind of the challenge that we're trying to figure out. Is if we could make something that at the end of it, you laughed your ass off, but you also go like, well, what the fuck's going to happen to him? Like, there's some worry for me, I think, than that I did my job. And that's the hope. But it is a super, like, the more and more we get into it, the more and more we're rewriting it and working it and shit. Like, today, it's like, oh, boy, Brent, you did it again, huh? You just set the bar so damn high.
You have to.
You have to, though.
Are there any outstanding Clooney boops in this show?
And there's going to be great. Let's just get Clooney in this fucking thing.
By the way, we've talked about it before, whether it's the reality show or his prank show. But, I don't know how we go about pitching that.
Clooney boops. Yeah, Clooney boops.
By the way,
Brad Pitt slips.
Pitt slips.
Pitt slips.
Have you Clooney booped in a while?
What did I
do? A recent Clooney boop?
What did I do recently? You know what I did do recently that was really embarrassing is I did a great show and I can't remember the name of the place and what an asshole to them. But it just turned into a great show where I ended up like even like singing with the band after, had a great time. And then, you know, after the show that they, it's here in Hollywood, and they got me good and sauced up. And this girl I knew was singing at this place. It was cool as shit. I've never seen it before, but it's like this kind of great ass band. It's like an open mic, but it's not, but it's cool. It looked like something out of Entourage. It was awesome. And so,
yep.
And she's this beautiful girl from Iceland. So like it all seemed great. Mm. And I go with her and I bring my friend Matt with me, who's, you know, more sober. It's just, you know, he was on the show with us once. This was the embarrassing thing. He's like, they kept giving, every place I went to was like, they didn't know I already had like 8 drinks before I got there. So they're just like, Brad, I got to get you a drink, you know? And I'm at the point where I'm like, hell yeah. So I have another drink. And so I have another one. And when music's playing, I know Adam feels the same way.
Yeah.
I'm like, I got to get involved.
I'm in, dude.
I'm obsessed with it.
Yep.
And something happened to me because this is kind of like, I haven't had a night like this in a long time where I kind of blacked out a little bit. I didn't like remember a lot of this part, but I kind of do, is the band, and it's packed with the hottest looking people, and it's like a stage, it's not, it's like maybe 2 feet off the ground, so it's like something you can get to.
So it's huge.
It's accessible. Yeah.
That was massive.
It looked like something cool that you don't think exists that maybe you see in like an Entourage where you're like, they designed that for the episode.
Yeah.
And she's not singing it. She went to go say hi to some friends. So I just came to watch her sing a song, and then I was going to leave. But I didn't like the, something happened to me where I was drunk enough to go, I don't fucking like this guy up here that has the mic. I don't know if he's hosting or singing or what he's doing. I don't like the way he's biting his lip. I don't like his face. He doesn't get music. Like I'm having these
He doesn't talks, get music.
Talks to Matt, my buddy Matt. He goes, all right, man, relax, dude. Because she gave us great seats up front. And I'm like, and then I'm getting into it. I'm kind of moving my head a little bit. And I'm like into it, and my buddy Matt explains it to me. He goes, dude, you are just jamming. You are just, next thing you know, your feet are just going and going. And you get up for a second, you dance for a second, and you sit back down. And then I was like, all right, man, maybe he's just feeling the music. Maybe he wants the groove. But then you got this look in your eye, man. You're just looking at the stage. You're looking like, I don't like this guy. You know, but this guy's doing it wrong. He goes, then you kind of, you got up again, and then once sat back down. I go, all right, Brent, let's just, you know, relax, relax. And then out of nowhere, you just go, fuck it. And then you just get up and you go and grab that mic out of the guy's hand as if what I'm going to do is going to be something out of like Sister Act or something. Like people are going to go, let him finish. Yeah. You know, like, or I have the voice that will be like, whoop, like everybody's going to stop.
Yeah.
No, I'm drunk and I'm like, yeah. And then nope, immediately bum rush off the stage by some other handsome ass dude who goes, dude, what are you doing, man? I go, I'm feeling it, dude. You got to let me have this.
He goes, we're all feeling it, man. Yeah. Doesn't mean you rush the stage.
He goes, it's not the way to do it, man. You have to know that. And I don't know what this guy did, but he was one of those guys who had like River Phoenix hair. You know what I mean?
So he had a hot guy. He was hot guy sensei.
Yeah, and he's getting it out of his face as he's talking
every
to me.
2 seconds, the actor.
And I remember that thinking, would you fucking figure your hair out when you're talking to people? If you have to do that every 2 seconds, I can't even focus.
Yeah.
But it must have calmed me down because then I was like, hey, you're right. That was stupid. And then we just left. And I just didn't see her sing. That's what I thought. My buddy Matt goes, no, you did, but we kind of ran away because I felt like I embarrassed myself, obviously. And then I just left in like an uproar. And I guess we were walking back, and my buddy Matt goes, what the hell are you doing? And I kept saying to Matt, I go, why don't you stop me? You know how I was feeling it. And then I guess some guy in a wheelchair just goes flying by. Like he lost control because we were like on a, like a little bit of a slope.
Oh, jeez.
And I guess I don't remember this, but I guess I ran and stopped him and saved him. So my friend just said, so my friend goes,
rescue 911?
Man, you were such a fucking weirdo, dude. That was so much. He goes, the only thing that redeems you, save that man in the wheelchair. I go, okay, let's go back
all right,
to,
yeah.
What are all the things I did that I didn't know? He goes, yeah, and you saved that guy, you put him back on his track, you talked to him for a minute, went home. And I was like, God, I guess I can't feel too bad. He goes, you saved a life, dude. You saved a life.
Dude.
So that was probably an embarrassing little
that's a Clooney
boop.
That's a Clooney boop with a heroic ending.
No, yeah, thank God. That was like the only thing that saved me from feeling completely horrible.
Well, now.
And then the next day I wrote the girl. I go, hey, so sorry about. No, I wrote her that night when I got back when he explained it. And I go, I'm not sorry for getting on that stage. I am sorry because you're such a great talent and you should be up there the entire time.
Oh, God.
Because I'm like too passionate. Yeah. And then I wake up the next day and I go, oh, you know what? I'm sorry for everything. But I don't know why I wrote that. And then she goes, I have no idea what you're talking about. And so I call Matt. I go, Matt, was that girl even with us when it happened? He goes, no, she wasn't near us. Big place. I think she went to say hi to a friend. I went, ah, damn it. She didn't even know that happened.
And then you just called yourself out. But then, but see...
Then she, it's like, well, I'll talk to the bass player. Don't talk to anybody about
it. Yeah.
And then she goes, oh my God, what did you do? I was like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, now I got to tell her.
Well,
At least you get this story now.
That's a pit slip. Yeah.
At least you get this story now, where now the next time you get like drunk and someone's looking at you like, Brent, you're drinking too much, you'd be like, last time I got hammered, I saved a life.
Yeah, who? What did you do?
Yeah, that never happens.
Yeah. Wow.
Well, fuck, man. Okay, Brent. Go see Brent Morin live. Go to his website. Go to the tour dates.
I thought he was going
to
get angry there. I thought he was going to throw the mic down and break my table.
God damn it, Brent. Why are you saving the handicapped people?
I don't know, baby bird.
Let them be. Let them be.
Let them be. If it's their time, it's their time.
Yeah, you should figure out your chair, you know?
Good night, everybody.
So.
Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or aboutlastnightpodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessime Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it? Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.
Hey guys, Adam Ray here. I always laugh when someone says, dude, you should sell that. Like, it's just that easy. Between traveling, doing shows, trying to remember what city I'm in, I don't know where I am right now. Wait, New Zealand. The last thing I want to do is figure out how to build an online store. That's why I love Shopify. Anytime I've got something to put out in the world, whether it's tickets, merch, or anything in my life, Shopify takes care of the checkout experience so I don't have to. When someone's ready to buy, it's quick and easy. If they're coming back, their information is already there, so they're checked out in no time. Yep, that noise you heard, that means I get to spend less time worrying about the technical side of things and more time doing what I actually love, which is creating and making you guys laugh. Or not laugh. Maybe you hate me. I don't know. It's no surprise Shopify powers millions of businesses, from people just getting started to some of the biggest brands in the world. With Shopify, nothing stands between your idea and a real business. So go make it one. Start your free trial at shopify.com/aboutlastnight. Start your free trial at shopify.com/aboutlastnight. Shopify.com/aboutlastnight.